Proverbs 19:11, the discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. Now, discretion, not a word we use commonly, but it's prudence and good sense. That's just a simple, plain definition, good sense. If you got good sense, and if you and I have any of that, we know it came from the Lord. We don't have any by nature. And if we have any, we will defer anger. Deferreth means to prolong, and it has to do with long suffering. It's a form of the word long suffering. These two things go together, discretion and long suffering, or the deferring of anger. That quality of character which the Lord gives, which is just good sense. We're missing that these days, aren't we, in this world? Just good sense. You see, that's different from having a degree, being a bachelor of whatever or a master of whatever. You can attain the highest levels of academic achievement and just flat not have any good sense. And the Lord just gives that. He just gives that. You don't study for that. The Lord gives it. And that which you do study for, the Lord gives that too, of course. But the one is the cause of the other. When the Lord gives this quality of character to a sinner by through salvation, he doesn't give that apart from Christ, and Christ is our salvation, not just our new nature. When he gives that, it results in a certain reaction and behavior. Proverbs 2:6, I'll refer you to you again, as we often do throughout these Proverbs. Proverbs 2:6, for the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Key verse throughout the Proverbs, because we read of wisdom and understanding so much in the different facets of teaching in the Proverbs. It comes from God. And notice the way he gives it in what I just read. The Lord giveth wisdom. How does he do that? It comes out of his mouth. It's his word. It's the gospel whereby he gives it. That's how he gives it. The gospel, think about it. The gospel saves. It's able, Paul said, to make you wise unto salvation. By that means, God, it's Christ that saves, but he does it by means. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save. He does it by that, the gospel. The gospel saves, teaches, it's profitable for doctrine, which just means teaching, is profitable for reproof. The gospel reproves us. You don't need me to rant and rave and say, quit doing this and quit doing that and start doing this. If the honor of Christ, you think about that for a second. If the honor of Christ doesn't mean enough to you to change your behavior, me making an idiot out of myself, what's that going to do? Or anybody else shaming you or hitting you over the head with the law? It's the honor of the Lord that motivates us. It's the love of Christ that constrains us. We thus judge if he gave himself for us, then we ought to live for him. That's not complicated. It's profitable for correction. It instructs us. It's profitable for instruction in righteousness. The gospel does all that. And it gives us the grace from the Lord through the teaching of the gospel. God gives us some good sense. He really does. We have the mind of Christ in that regard. He just flat gives us good sense. Hearing from God affects us. It changes us. And we may not even notice it. You may not even notice that about yourself. You don't need to notice it. It's not an achievement. It's a grace. And our text doesn't mean that we're never to get angry. We know that from Scripture. Jealousy for God's glory causes anger. Is that a bad thing? Our Lord put it on display, didn't he? By overturning tables of the money changers in the temple. And you remember why he did it? He said, it's written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, and you've made it a den of thieves. It was dishonoring to his Father, to God, and the Lord Jesus said, enough. This is the day you quit doing that. But let's face it, all of our displays, if you think throughout the years how many times you've gotten angry and shown it, how many of those times have been motivated by jealousy for the glory of the Lord? Stupid displays of anger do just the opposite. They dishonor the Lord whose name we bear, whose name we associate ourselves with. That's why this is so clearly and thoroughly dealt with in the Word of God. Proverbs 14:29, he that is slow to wrath is of great understanding. That's just simply saying that when the Lord saves somebody and gives them understanding, he gives this quality with that. Doesn't mean that we 100% of the time act that way. We still have this flesh. But the new man is slow to wrath. It doesn't say he ought to be. He is. Proverbs 16:32, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. If somebody gets mad about something and he's got power, you know, he's strong, he's got ability, he's got armies or whatever, and he puts on a display of that anger by conquering, the one that is offended or has cause to be very angry, and may be very angry on the inside, but is able to control that, is able to repress that by God's grace, is able to think rather than react, he's better. We see the display of anger. We're impressed by that. Our flesh is impressed by that sometimes, if it's not just on the surface stupid. But we can be impressed by displays of anger, but not the Lord. Not the Lord. He that ruleth his spirit is better than he that taketh a city. It takes more strength, more might, more wisdom, more power, more strength of character to put it in check, to let it go, than it does to take a city. Thank God the Lord's not quick to anger. He's not only our Savior in this, he saves stupid, angry people, but he shows us what it means to be wise and prudent. And he said of his people in Isaiah 48:9, for my name's sake, I will defer mine anger. He gets glory like that, for my name's sake, for the glory of his own name. He defers his anger, and for my praise, he said, will I refrain for thee. I'm not going to strike you down and put you in hell. And I do that for my own praise, for my own glory. For my name's sake, I will refrain for thee that I cut thee not off. He doesn't give us what we deserve. He doesn't react to our evil and our sin hastily, but he has mercy. And look at the second part of our verse this morning. Look at the second part of it again. It's the glory of a man to pass over a transgression. Turn with me, please, to 1 Peter chapter 2. I ran across this passage of Scripture before I ever started studying, not long before, but just a little bit before I started studying for this lesson. And the Lord impressed it upon me then. And then we came to this verse in the Scripture in Proverbs, and it came back to my mind. 1 Peter 2:18. Verse 18, when you think about this, servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, with respect, not only to the good and gentle. It's easy to respect a boss that you like, that treats you well, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy. If a man for conscience toward God, because he's not thinking of himself, he's thinking of the glory of God. And for that reason, he endure grief. Think about our reaction every time when we endure some grief. It's not pretty, is it? And in this sense, a wrongdoing. Somebody done us wrong. It's like a fire, isn't it? It's like a fire. Suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it? There's that word glory from our text. We're talking about a man's glory, and that word means beauty. What beauty is there in if when you be buffeted for your faults, you take it patiently? You should do that. Even that is not going to happen without God's grace, because we think we're God by nature. And so anytime anybody rebukes us or wrongs us, irks us, whatever you want to call it, we're not going to take it patiently, even if we deserve it. But if you take it patiently when you deserve it, where's the beauty in that, the Lord says? But if, when you do well, and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. Now, it's acceptable with God in Christ. This is the character of somebody that's in Christ, that has the grace of Christ. Because we can't even do it when we deserve it, much less when we don't. And I thought about that. The times that I have done the right thing and then been criticized or wronged for that, you talk about a fire in my heart. I don't ever think I've ever reacted the way that the Lord teaches us to. I don't think I ever have. How about you? Which is why I'm thankful that he's not only our example, he's our Savior. He's our Savior. We don't do the right thing, but he did for us, as us. That's our hope. That's a beautiful thing if the Lord ever gives you the grace to do that. Somebody does not deserve your forgiveness at all. But you give it. Boy, there's a limit to that in there because of our sin. We can't just leave it in the Lord's hands. The Lord said, I'll repay. If there needs to be anger, if there needs to be retribution, if somebody needs to pay for their behavior, I'll take care of that, he said, not you. You're a sinner. You don't have the right to look down on anybody. You don't have the right to be mad at anybody. And I don't either. Not for wronging us. And look now, not only is he our example, look at it, and we see that so beautifully here. Verse 21, for even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that you should follow his steps, that you should imitate him, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. And what did he suffer for? For telling the truth. For telling sinners the only truth that can make them wise unto salvation. For giving hope to a wretch like me. He suffered for that. But you know what he did? And this still, remember, this is talking about us too. He's our example in this. And what did he say? What did he do? Why didn't he react and just, I mean, he had the ability to just drop people in hell whenever he wanted to. I think he did that a couple of times, didn't he? Those ones that, was it Janice and Jambres? He dropped them in hell on the spot. If he went around doing that to everybody that deserved it, who'd be left? But he committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. You sit there and say, well, this person, boy, if anybody ever deserved a little retribution, this person does, and they're fixing to get it. They deserve it. Not if they're in Christ, they don't. And if they did, if they do, if they deserve, they don't owe it to you. They owe it to God. I should know that by now. I should know that by now. And look, he's not just our example, though. He did it for an example for us that we might imitate him, but also who his own self bare our sins. Because I am the way I am, because I am stupid. I think I told y'all this before, but I don't know if all of you were here. Somebody got kind of irked with me one time for calling us stupid, which is scriptural, by the way, very clearly scriptural. I don't like the word stupid, they said. Well, do you like the word sinner? If stupid offends you, you don't know what a sinner is. Stupid is being kind. Compared to sinner, does it make you mad when I call you a sinner? We're stupid. But he also not only gave us an example to follow, but he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. That we, being dead to sin, should live under righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Not by whose stripes you were taught how to live, which we are, but that's not what it says. You were healed. For you were as sheep going astray, but now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Again, we're shown not only Christ as our example to imitate, but as our Savior, because how to perform that which is good, we still find not. And I'm thankful that my hope doesn't rest on me and my behavior. It's not that the exhortation of Scripture is in vain. He does exhort us to be wise, be prudent, be slow to anger. He's given us a new heart. He's created us anew in Christ Jesus that we might honor Him. It's just that our honoring of Him is never our righteousness. Christ is. Amen. Let's pray.